Welcome to the third episode of Ask the Water Polo Goalie. If this is your first time listening, I'm Glenn Bush, an assistant coach for the UCSD men's water polo team, and this podcast is me answering all the questions I get about being a water polo goalie. If you have a question about being, training, or coaching a water polo goalie, then ask me. My email is thewaterpologoalie@gmail.com, and there's a link in the description to leave me an audio message if you want to hear your voice on a future show. I'll also have my email in the link in the description as well, too. Today's episode, I'm going to answer two questions. The first one is one I kind of get a lot. It's, are there any good camps or clinics for water polo goalies? Are there any out there that I recommend? The second question is one I get more from high school coaches, which is, what am I looking for when evaluating a goalie to assess if they can play at the next level? But before we do all that, I have a simple request. If you're finding value in this podcast, please leave me a rating and a review. It helps others discover this podcast, and I want this podcast to reach as many water polo goalies, coaches, and water polo fans as possible. So thank you, and let's get to the questions. So talking about camps, the first thing is with COVID-19 going on, I think all the camps are shut down this year. At least the California ones are being held at public universities. But keep these recommendations in mind for future reference. The first thing with camps is just in general, you're going to these camps because you're getting a lot of reps and you're seeing a lot of different shooters and situations in a short amount of time. If you just see your teammate shots over and over again, it gets really tough to progress and improve your game. You need those new challenges. You need to see new things. So with that idea in place, most camps will do. Because of affordability and distance are big factors if people can make it to a camp. If there's a camp near you that maybe doesn't have the big name draw, that's okay. Just want to make sure that you have a lot of people there where you're getting a lot of reps. And also about those lesser camps is I don't know the level of instruction you're going to get. But again, at least you're seeing a ton of shots, hopefully playing a lot of games, doing a lot of different drills, and just seeing a lot of different things. You're cramming a lot of experience into a short window. If travel and money are not a limiting factor, then the big name camps tend to draw the better players, and that's where you want to go to get exposure to those better players and to test yourself. And at those camps, you're going to get a lot of reps against those better players. You just play water polo all day through a series of drills and scrimmages, and you're just getting all that experience from better players and just things that you wouldn't see if you're just staying with your high school team. I think I said it earlier, but it's like cramming a whole season in a week. The big camps are Stanford's camp, the Malibu Water Polo Camp at Pepperdine. And this next camp, I don't know if it's still the same name, but it used to be called the Camp of Champions at Long Beach State. I know Long Beach State has a camp. Just don't know if it's the same name anymore. But I went to the Camp of Champions 25 years ago. Let's see what else. You have the Santa Barbara Water Polo Camps. On the East Coast, I know that Princeton has a camp, and I know that the Naval Academy has one. And I'm sure I'm leaving a couple off here. And if I did, let me know, and I'll give a camp update in a later episode. Don't want to leave anybody off here in case it's close to other players. Because these are the name brand camps, they tend to have good camp coaches. You'll get their former national team buddies or current national team players to show up, and they'll maybe coach for a day or for the week. They'll pull in their current college players to round out the staff and have them get in the water with you. So there's just a lot of knowledge and experience around these pool decks. And the follow-on question I get kind of about camps is, are there any specific goalie camps? Yeah, Jack Bowen, he's the head coach at the Menlo School in Palo Alto. He runs goalie-specific camps. He's an excellent coach, and he covers all facets of being a goalie. I put a link to that page in the description. It's at the bottom of the page. It has his email, so you got to scroll down and contact him about setting up a goalie-specific camp. Another camp is, I don't have experience with it, but it's the 5-meter water polo camps. These are led by Janai Kerr. He's another great goalie, another great person, just great coach. Ashley Johnson, the goalie from the women's team, is listed there as a coach too. So right there, you're getting two great water polo goalies. This camp rotates locations, so check out their website and see if or when it'll be near you. The Malibu camp, again, is a big camp, but Merrill Moses is a big part of that camp. I don't know how much individual time you'll get with him, but I'm willing to bet he's overseeing the whole goalie situation at the camp, and he has a wealth of knowledge and experience about that position. And so you'll get exposed to his knowledge at this camp as well. But again, the biggest benefit of this being a big camp is that you're going to get a lot of reps against good players. Another option is going to pop up when the COVID restrictions die down, and that's to see if the current national team goalies are doing little camps. Now, a big way they raise money to support themselves while they train for the Olympics is to run a bunch of mini camps, you know, 1 to 3 day affairs with just a handful of players. And they do this usually up and down California. And in these mini camps, you'll get a lot of individual instruction. And maybe a goalie will partner up with a field player. So if you're a coach, you can schedule a way to get your whole team into a little mini camp, and they can really get some focused quality time with a top level player or two. Another recent development is Victor Nage. He came over to the US and he did a bunch of camps up and down California too. I think this was last summer. I don't know if he'll do it again or if other big name international goalies will do the same in the future. Usually they're playing with their national teams during the summer. I know that Victor took some time off from the national team and was able to do sort of a kind of working vacation in California. Another piece of advice is if you do go to one of the big camps, I recommend going with a teammate or a friend or two. Most camps are a week long and you're usually staying at the camp during that week. So the first couple of days are easier if you have a friend with you, and it's always easier to make new friends when you have a wingman. And before I get into the second question, I'm going to do a quick message from our sponsor. The second question I'm going to talk about is one I get from high school coaches on a regular basis. What am I looking at, or what am I looking for when I'm evaluating a high school goalie's potential at the next level? Again, I can only answer for myself, but I think you'll get some sort of variation of my answers from others. And usually the coach or the high school coach is asking me this because they want to be honest with their players about their chances to play at the next level. So let's do the obvious ones and get those out of the way. We have height. You know, all else being equal, the taller the goalie, the better. 6'4 and above is great, but college, you know, 6'2 and above is perfect. Playing the cage is all about angles. The taller you are, the more cage you can cover. When you're shorter, you play further out of the cage to cover those same angles and the same amount of cage a taller goalie does. And then the further out you have to play, the more susceptible to lobs you are, and the harder it is to dive back and get into position on, say, like a cross pass to a deep wing. Can smaller goalies make it? Yeah, of course. You know, Garrett Danner at UCLA is a recent example. He was MPSF Player of the Year at least once in his career. I know he won the Coutinho Award. I think he was nominated a couple times, and he was listed at 6'1". So it's very possible to be successful at a shorter height. You just have to work harder at the position and play a little bit smarter. The next kind of obvious thing is leg strength. Now, I'm not expecting a high school goalie to have the same leg strength as a third or fourth year college goalie, but I do want to see a strong base to build off of. You know, great explosiveness and a comfortability being 100% on their legs with their hands out. The next thing I kind of look for is communication. You know, do they talk? Are they loud and clear? This is what I'll call a soft skill. You know, it's a hard one to drill. If they're already comfortable talking and directing a defense, that's good. You know, learning the correct things to say is easy to learn, but teaching someone to just talk is much harder. I'll look a little bit at passing. Do they have arm strength? Do they have good touch on the ball? You know, I think making a goalie into a better passer is one of the easier aspects of my job. I've done it many times. It's just that to make it at the next level, you don't want to spend a bunch of time having to develop a good passing base. You know, we need to hit the ground running at that college level. And so those things, you know, the physical stuff is easy for a high school coach to recognize. The next couple of items might be tougher for a high school coach to recognize or even think about if they weren't a goalie. And these are my specific items. You know, another college coach or goalie coach may disagree with my views, or they have their own versions and they have their own little tweaks to them. But the biggest thing I look for after checking off all those physical things is, do they track the ball with their eyes into their block? Are they following the ball the entire way? A flinch here and there is fine. We all do it. But more times than not, are they keeping their eyes on the ball and following the ball into the safe? Random reference, you know, when I think of the Karate Kid 3 with this kind of topic. Daniel is training with the bad guy. He doesn't know he's the bad guy yet. And the coach or sensei, wherever you want him, is telling Daniel to break the nose of his opponent. And the coach or sensei says something like, "You can't hit what you can't see." It's the same thing with being a goalie. You can't block what you can't see. If you're ducking your head on every shot, closing your eyes on every shot, or turning your head away while in a lunge, yeah, you may get some saves, but at that higher level, the shooters are much better. They are just going to light you up. I can fix this to an extent, but it takes a long time. So if a high school goalie is already showing great ball tracking skills, then I think they have a shot at the next level. The other kind of soft skill that I'm looking at is fluidity and comfortability in the cage. And I think this is true for any sport. When someone plays the game stiff, like they're trying really hard and focusing really hard on the correct movement, that they miss the artistry that comes with the sport and the mastery of the position that propels them to those higher levels. Again, this is what I call kind of a soft skill. It's one of those, I know it when I see it. And for a coach that didn't play the goalie position, it could be really tough for them to separate a goalie playing the correct movement versus a goalie playing the game and slowly mastering the position. So that's kind of what I'm looking for when evaluating a goalie. There's other little kind of little intangible things, but that's kind of the main stuff. If you have any further questions about this episode or any other questions in general about being a water polo goalie or coaching them, you know, you can send them to me via email, or you can leave me an audio message that I, like I said, I can play in future episodes. And a couple other things before I go. In the description, I've included a link to Cap 7. It's an affiliate link. So if you're going to pick up some gear, you know, suits, weight belts, balls, etc., you can use that link and it helps support the show. There's also a link in the description to directly support the show. And if you enjoyed this episode and you're finding value in it, please leave me a rating and review. Until next time.